For some time now, we've been following campaigns around pavement parking. Charities like RNIB and Guide Dogs have been working to highlight the issue. And it's not just an issue for people with sight loss. It could be people with other mobility issues, even parents out with prams. Vehicles parked on our pavements can make things dangerous. It could mean stepping out into roads we're not sure about or having to take detours around streets we really don't know. Well, there's lots of work going on at the Scottish Parliament to look at this in Scotland, and we have with us today Sandra White, MSP, to chat a little bit more. Sandra, how were you introduced to the issues around pavement parking?
Well, having had kids of my own, I think it's very difficult, as you mentioned, to get long pavement parking. But as an elected member working with local groups, disability groups, older people as well, have always been involved in it. And believe it or not, this is now about 10 years since this was first mooted to look at a bill. And I do thank Ross Finney, who was previous MSP, and Joe Fitzpatrick, who also tried to introduce a bill. How I get involved in this particular bill was I put forward my own pavement parking bill, and obviously through the Parliament. It was a long road, as I say, 10 years, but we are coming to the end of that road, pardon the pun, and basically, you know, being involved with all your groups here as well as others, I think it's a great thing that the Scottish Parliament actually adopted my private member's bill into their transport bill. So I'm grateful. At that time it was Hamza Yousaf Minister. I'm grateful to them for adopting it into the transport bill as well.
It's a tricky one, I would have thought, now from both sides. I'm a guide dog owner myself, Sandra, so I know what it's like to come across blocked pavements and having to step it into roads amongst traffic. You know, when you can't even see that traffic, I'm relying on my guide dog to get me back onto the pavement safely. But, you know, many of our streets are just not designed for the traffic we have these days and our need for parking. So that must have been a difficult one to take on.
It certainly was. I mean, when I introduced the bill, or reintroduced the bill, with various caveats and different forms of consultation, it was one of the bills that had the largest amounts of respondents. But what really floored me was the fact that once we get into the nitty-gritty of the bill and met with Transport Scotland and various ministers, that believe it or not, you don't have such a thing as a pavement.
Okay.
You do not have such a thing as a pavement. And my argument, my slogan's always been pavements are for people, not for cars. And I was really quite floored when that came up through the Scotland Act. So we had a lot of work to do with civil servants in regards to that. And obviously, you go forward and look through the bill, there are certain areas where perhaps two wheels on the pavement would be suffice to let people pass, and also let emergency vehicles pass as well. So you're absolutely right, there's so many cars on the road, but they've got to realise, and I didn't want this bill to be punitive, I wanted it to be educational as well, so that'll be going forward with educational videos, etc. But really, people need to realise that cars aren't the king. People are there to be able to walk in pavements.
It's good there's that educational part to it as well, and it's not all about the stick. You're actually saying to people, look, here's the problems it causes, here's how it could endanger people's life, not just inconvenience them as well. And as you said, you know, it's not just people with visual impairments, a whole host of people are affected by this.
Absolutely, and I'm the convener of the cross-party group in older people, Age and Ageing, to give it its full title. So this went through that cross-party group as well as others to look at that. So it affects everybody in society. We had lots of people came along, people from your own organisation, and we actually took out a video camera and went round the streets with them. And one of the cases that we heard of, which was really, really terrible, and that's why we brought the drop curb parking into this bill, was a gentleman who was walking along the pavement using his stick. The stick broke on this particular van that was on the pavement. Now, that gentleman was marooned on that pavement for a couple of hours until somebody came along to help him because he didn't have his stick to be able to move on. You know, this is not acceptable.
Absolutely. And a lot of work, as you said, Sandra, has gone into this. You know, taking motorist considerations into mind as well. Now, what stage are we at the moment? Because there were discussions in the Parliament recently around this.
Stage one, where the bill has been adopted, the principles of the bill went through Parliament. It was a hard slog, to be fair, to get it to that stage. And when the government says they would take it and adopt it into the transport bill, then it was making sure it took top billing, as you might say, and that was passed in principle. Now we'll go on to stage two, which is probably the most important part of it. That's where amendments will come into it, because you have the haulage companies, you have motoring companies, you have individuals who could put in amendments to the bill. It doesn't just have, you know, obviously responsible parking. There's other areas there. But this is the hurdle we've got to go over to ensure that responsible pavement parking is adopted into stage two of the bill, and then it'll go into stage three. So we need to watch that carefully, what amendments are actually put in. Then it'll be debated in Parliament at stage two, whether some of the amendments are accepted or fall. Then obviously we need to watch it very carefully.
Does it have good cross-party support?
It does, it certainly does. And at stage one of the debate, I spoke in that debate. I'm not a member of the committee, but I spoke in the debate and I've attended committee meetings also. And it certainly has absolute support from, I'd say, all of the parties, but still concerns in regards to other issues like I mentioned about the transport, waiting times, haulage contractors. These were all discussed, and I think that's a good thing, to be able to, you know, iron out any concerns that are brought forward. So one of the concerns that's been brought forward is that do you make it mandatory for everywhere, or do you give that power to the councils if they wish to introduce it? And there will be some areas where, you know, it would just be impossible not to allow a car, as I said previously. Do we allow certain areas to have two wheels on the pavement? It's all been discussed at stage one and through the committee, but at stage two, this is when the amendments have come in.
Something else we probably don't think about when we talk about pavement parking as well is the physical damage that a lot of these vehicles cause to curbstones, to pavements themselves. So that all has to be looked after, repaired. That comes out of council budgets.
Absolutely, that's something which was touched upon, and a lot of people didn't think about that. You've got to look at it. Obviously, the emotive side came in about people not being able to walk on pavements with disabilities, etc. But there is the side of the economy, which costs a lot of money when you've got these huge, big lorries. I mean, I know myself in my constituency office, which is just up the road, delivery vans will park four wheels on the pavement outside our office. In fact, we had to get a repair done to a cellar, and this was purely because they would park there to deliver. What's the difference of parking a couple of yards down in a side street and delivering your goods? You don't need to park on the pavement, so you're absolutely spot on there. In economy-wise and saving money, it will do that too.
You're looking at further amendments which could crop up here as well. Are you hopeful of a rough timescale when something like this could be strengthened or brought in?
Well, obviously, as I said, checked this morning with the Parliament, the clerks, and they're talking about June before it comes to stage two, which isn't that long. And once it comes to stage two, well, you're looking at maybe September, October for stage three, the final stage of the bill, and that's when it would be put forward as full legislation. So I think we need to keep an eye on the amendments, and I'm sure your organisation and others will do that. So we'll be looking at near the end of this year.
Sandra, it's something we'll continue to follow here on RNIB Connect Radio, but thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.